So tonight, I would like to, we did a lot on the last couple of shiurim were on Amira, and we basically were discussing whether Amira is an integral part of Kiddushin, as opposed to simply being the varer, what's going on, and whether that integral part is part of the Edekiyum, whether it's part of the process of Kiv, the Kalos of Ishus, connected to it being a kind of a Hekdesh, related to the next topic of Yadayim Mochichos, which we talked a little bit about, the idea that specific Lashonos are necessary in Kiddushin, that even if it's pretty clear that you're conveying an interest in and what you're interested in other words, is Kiddushin, on both sides, but you have to formulate it properly, because the Torah is very specific in how this action, or how this institution is created, obviously reflecting on a perspective on how, how the marriage itself operates in a certain way. So this is the issues that we were discussing on Daf Hey Amud Beis, and then on Vav, a little bit on Vav Amud Aleph. And this really connects up to the topic of Asukim Ba'osuinim, which we also discussed, not extensively, but a little bit, because in the case of Asukim Ba'osuinim, it's a case where, again, there were discussions in advance of the formal Kiddushin. And then the Gemara says that under those circumstances, if there was no Amira at all, that would be fine too. So either that means that you don't really need Amira other than to clarify what's happening, and the Asukin can substitute for that, right? And then the questions of, Nasnahi, I'm sorry, Nasanhu, Vamrahi, the Lishonos, they become questions of confusion or maybe undermining. Maybe you don't need an Amira, but when you have it, whatever Amira you have has to be precise, those kind of issues. Or if you go further and say that you really need Amira as part of the Yitzira Sachalos of Ishus, part of creating Ishus, then you have to say that the informal discussions that took place in Asukin Ba'oso Inyan are connected to the formal Kiddushin, and they become the Dibor, or the Amira, or the clarification, the Biror, if you will, that is attached to it. So we discuss a number of issues in that connection. What happens if you have, Nasan Huva Amar Huva Amrahi, or Asukim Ba'osa Inyan and then Amrahi, or Asukim Ba'osa Inyan and then a Lashon that doesn't work. What about Shtar? How does this compare to Hekdesh? And other things, etc. So that was the topics that we were doing on Hey Omid Beis and Vav Omid Al. So now, I thought we would move on to the Sugya and Vav Omid Beis, which we had mentioned and is a very famous topic. It's the next big topic, because the other things, again, there are more details to fill in on the question of Amira, but the basic principle and the basic issues we already explored. So let's move on now to the famous Gemara of Mekadesh B'Milva on Vav Amud Beis. Okay. So the Gemara says, Amar Abaya. Everybody has sheets? Thank you. Okay. So Amar Abaya. Abaya says that HaMekadesh B'Milva thank you. Eina Mekudeshes. That HaMekadesh B'Milva Eina Mekudeshes. What does that mean? That again, the case is a little bit tricky. It's a situation where there is already a loan relationship between the husband and the wife, as Rashi says. The Amar Hiskad Shili B'Milva Shehilvi Sicha. Right? So she owes him money, right? He lent money to her, and now that money that she is obligated to repay him, right? The question is, can that be the Kesef Kiddushin? That's the question of Mekadesh B'Milva, and the Gemara says that according to Abaya, Mekadesh B'Milva Eina Mekudeshes. On the other hand, Bahanas Milva, we'll discuss why in a minute, Bahanas Milva, that would be Mekudeshes, the Farish Lo V'Azil, says Rashi, right? We'll get to the other Rashi in a minute. If he's Mekadesher with the pleasure, right, of the milva, the benefit of the milva, whatever that means, we'll get to it in a second. That would be mukudeshes, but still the osolaso skein mipnei haramas ribis. However, it looks like a kind of a trickery. It looks like you're charging ribis, even though it isn't official doraisa ribis. It looks like a way of you know the equivalent of charging interest, and therefore you shouldn't do it midrabanan. What does that mean? Why? In what sense is it haramas ribis? Because he, you know, is walking away with this ishus, right? So look at Rashi here for a minute. Rashi explains. Okay, well, we'll get to it in a second. So then the Gemara explains hanas milva hechadami. What do we mean when we speak about hanas milva? What does that mean? So the Gemara says ilema daaskifa, right? The amala arba bechamisha. Are we talking about a situation where there's kifas milva, and he says to her, right, arba v'chamisha, he gives her a loan of four, and he says, you have to pay me back, you know, five, and he wants him to kaddish her, let's say, you know, with the fifth, right? So the Gemara says, ha ribis malyasahu, that is actual ribis, that's not haramas ribis, because that's what classical ribis is. I give you a loan of four, and I charge you, it's called, right, agar natar, meaning I charge you schar for the fact that you can hold on to the money, right, you're holding on to this money and using it, and I'm charging you for the opportunity, right, just like a bank, right, if I take an interest from the bank charges me interest, meaning I'm paying, right, a fee, right, in order to utilize, you know, this cash. So that's typical ribis, haribis malyasahu, ba'od hainu milva, right? That isn't, what's that?
But it doesn't matter that in the end of the day she doesn't have to actually pay it.
Well, she is kind of paying it, right? Because it's in lieu of the kesef kiddush.
Yeah.
Right. So,
why should that not be good?
Why?
I understand it's enough error, right?
So who said it isn't good?
Oh, okay. My.
No, I don't mean to dismiss your question. The answer is it's a big debate whether it's good or not. Look at Rashi, since you asked that. Rashi says, ribis, again, let's go back. Ilei mida'askefe me'ikar, originally, arba b'chamisha, he gave a loan of four, he demanded a return of five. V'hashto amalai skachili b'zuz. And now he says, I want to be b'kadishu with the fifth zuz. Now, so I want to get the four, the original loan back. But as far as the extra charge of the interest, the ribis, right, that I want to convert into kesef kedushin. So the Gemara says, well, that isn't ribis ketsutza, I mean, it isn't haramas ribis, that's ribis malyasa. So look at Rashi. Rashi says, v'amai korile haramas ribis.
So
Rashi says, so why are you linguistically referring to it otherwise? So the ritva, we'll see in a moment, if you want to see for a second. We'll jump ahead, but we'll, you know, hopefully get back to it. The Ritva quotes this Rashi, and is medayik in the Rashi, and says, oh, what Rashi probably meant, even though the Rashi doesn't say it explicitly, is the following. Look at page number 2, and starting from line 7, the Ritva says, Bahanas milva mekudeshes v'asolasas kain v'pinei haramas ribis. Right? So the Gemara says, "Va'amrinan, hi hanos mil vehechadami, dile medam liarba bechamisha pirsh v'kitsha bazeh hachamishi." Right? She chayavis lo ribis malyaso he. So Rashi. So the Ritva says, "Pirsh lishna bi'alma kokashile, heche karile haramas ribis." Why are you calling this? Why are you, right, defining it as a ramas ribis? Avabade afilu beribis gemura im kvar parata lo v'chazav v'kitshabo mikudeshes demos deribis sheparam lo v'lemalva konino legamri umamun gomer heim lo elishyesh alakova lach zero ubezim motzim imenu. We'll go back to it soon because it's a very important ritva. It's a controversial ritva. Basically, the ritva is medayik from Rashi, what you were suggesting, which is that If you were to Mekadesh her with the fifth Zuz, right, namely the Ribbis, then the Gemara's objection is a technical one. It's a linguistic objection. But it doesn't mean the Kiddushin would not be Chal. The Ritva's saying because it isn't really Gezel, it's an Iser Daraisa, and you're not supposed to keep the Ribbis, and Bezin can actually confiscate it, but it doesn't mean it isn't yours, and therefore if you do something with it, it is legally binding. The Arishon would disagree. The Talmud Rajba, or the Rimigash, the Bala Itur, there's a group of Rishonim who think that if you're Makadesh Beribis, it's like being Makadesh Begezel, and the Kiddushin is not Chal. So I hope we'll talk about that.
But the Ritva is saying that he received this extra Zuz and used it as Kesef Kiddushin, whereas...
I think he says that because... Yeah.
Redefining Hanoas.
Well, I'm not... No, I think he says that because of the next line in the Gemara. Because the Gemara says as follows. Right? The Gemara says, Hayanos Milva Hechadami, right? Ilema the Askafe the Amar Arba the Chamisha. The Gemara says Ha Ribis Malyasahu, and then the Gemara says the Od Hainu Milva, right? So when the Gemara says the Od Hainu Milva, Rashi Shafa Zuzazeh Kvar Mchuyeves V'Omedes, right? So I think this is kind of what the Ritva is talking about. Is this really? Are you eliminating the milva part, you know, from this equation? Once you say that that's what hanoas milva is, because the Gemara says that, but that's also milva, right? Od hainu milva, but that isn't true if he gets it back and then he gives it again. That's a way of isolating. There are two issues here. One is ribis is milva. And the other is ribis, as for all intents and purposes, let's say ribis is gezel. Right. So that's why I think the Ritva did that. But okay, let's leave it for the moment.
Where's the nesina? Where's the nesina of the?
Well, that's maybe why it's not good. We'll get that in a second too. Right. I mean, we're saying Mekadesh Milva is no good. Right. Now, why is Mekadesh Milva no good? Let's look at the Rashi for a second. We'll get back to it. But we'll just get it on the record. Eina Mekudesha, so Rashi says, the Kicha Misteyafron Gamrinan. We learn how Kicha Misteyafron. Right? The Yoiv Midi Beshas Kiddushin. Means you give something at the time of the Kiddushin. That's what Kicha teaches us. Milva Lo Tzanitna. Right? Milva, even if the money is, even if the cash is there, let's say I gave him $100. I gave her $100, and the $100 is still sitting, you know, or it's in her pocket, in her wallet, or on her table, whatever it is. So, but it doesn't matter, because milva lo tzanitna. The second that he gave it to her, it's hers to spend. If it happens coincidentally that cash is still be'en, that's a coincidence. And therefore, when he now wants to mekadesh her with the money that she owes, even if that money is sitting there as a be'en, since legally it's no longer a be'en, so there's no nesina. Isn't that what you were just asking? Right? But the question is that the problem? Ukvar hein shala, umos hacherim, hichayev eslo. She's not obligated to repay him these crisp, you know, bills that are sitting on her table. Even if they're still sitting on her table at the time when the loan is up, there's no obligation to return those bills. The bills, the be'en, are irrelevant. Yeah.
I mean, could you say that even if, I mean, does Rashi need to say both those parts, that both that he already gave it to her and that also it's Milvalotan?
I think he does in the sense that if you look at it as a kind of pikadon,
yeah.
You know, we say about a pikadon, kalei chedisa b'shusa demaris.
Okay.
So even though physically it's not, you can be mekadesh nisa with a pikadon, that's clear. Even though there's no physical nesina, because it's a legal nesina. But here the point is that there's no legal nesina, and therefore the lack of physical nesina, you know, in conjunction with no legal nesina, is you know, is a powerful force. Yeah.
Is Rashi just saying that it's not his anymore?
He seems to be saying more than that.
Yeah.
He seems to be saying that it's not his, but that isn't the only or the major problem. The problem is, therefore, he's not giving her anything.
Right. If it's not his, so he's not.
Right, but you could have just said it's just not his. So, you know, why do we care about the Nesina part of it? You just can't be Mekadesh, but Davar Shein. Sounds like even if it was his, the fact that it's maybe had it been his, as I said, it would have been like a Pikadon, and then it would, right. So maybe you need to say it's not his, but it's interesting, having said that, that's not what Rashi's emphasizing. So I'll get to that. I'll get to that. Okay. Either way, the Gemara says, you know, we're still trying to figure out what Hanos Milva is. It's obviously not the Ribis, which would have been Ribis Katsutsa. So the Gemara says, Lo tzricha de arvach lo zimna. What we're talking about, what Hanos Milva that works is, arvach lo zimna, means he extends the time of the loan. So let's look at Rashi. There's big, massive debates. How do we read this line in the Gemara? What does arvach zimna really mean? We're not going to discuss all that tonight, but hopefully the end of the topic. Lo tzricha de arvach lo zimna, Rashi says, so there's what the person does is he says to her, listen, you owe me money, you owe me $100. No interest, no interest at all. Right? A good Jewish loan, no interest. So $100, it's due in 30 days. And he says to her, we're going to extend the deadline, you know, another 30 days. That's called Arvach La Zman Halva'asa. V'amr La Iskad Shali. So how does the Kiddushin work here? Behana zu sh'atayis no senes pruta la'adam she'ifayseni al-kach. Oli, wouldn't you have given me a pruta plus, right, to extend the amount of the loan? Or to, you know somebody who has influence on me, right? So you would give that person, you know, more than a pruta to exert influence, right, to extend the loan, right? For sure. Vafila agar nata lo dami klal, says Rashi, maybe it looks like, you know, extending the loan, you know, which is being, you know, characterized as the equivalent of a shavapruta to be mekadesh with. He doesn't have to give her a shavapruta because by extending the loan, that's the, you know, that looks a little like ribis. It sounds like agar natar. Agar means skar, natar means waiting. Mitzchar hamtana samos. Isn't that classic ribis? Right? Vim pirish lakach mikudeshas. So he says, this is not agar natar. And if he explains this to her, then he will be mikudeshas. Varamas ribis udahaba v'lo ribis gamur. It's not real ribis. It only is a kind of a, you know, facsimile of ribis. The lo kotzla midi v'lo midi shokamina. Because he's not, it's not like he's collecting something, and it's not like he was koveya this meirosh either. Many of the Mepharshim say that real ribis, daraisa, has to be at the time of the initial loan. Not everybody says this, but that's many Mepharshim say. Then Rashi adds, and this is of course very crucial, not everybody agrees, although it seems obvious, koshke nemachala kola milva. Very profound Rashi. Okay? Rashi says that, well, once we think that being Mekadesh Bahar Vachas Man Milva is Mekadesh, because Mekadesh with the Hana, it's worth a Pruta. So why do we need to work so hard? Why don't we just say that he's Mekadesher with the Mechilas HaMilva? Meaning, she owes me $100, right? And what are we saying? He said, you know, the $100 that you owe me, that's the Kesef Kedushin. That's Mekadesh B'Milva, Eino Mekudeshes. So don't say it that way. Why not just say, wouldn't you give somebody a pruta to convince... for them to convince me, you know, to drop the collection of the loan? Or wouldn't you give me a pruta to say, you know what, I'm going to give you a pruta. Not a partial payment. I'll give you a pruta if you drop the loan. Right? Probably give more than a pruta, right? So there's hanas, that's called hanas mechilas milva. So Rashi says, so what do you need harvach hazman? Right? Just say, so Rashi says, you're right. Just that we're talking about two different scenarios. One is that legally, he wants to be Mekadesh with the loan itself. the loan is a commodity, the loan is as mos. And now we're talking about being Mekadesh, right, with the Mechilas HaMilva, with the Hanos Mechilas HaMilva. In Achanami, practically the same case, it's just, you know, the way that you phrase it, not just the way you phrase it. It's also what you mean for the Kesef Kiddushin. But obviously at a pragmatic level, between the two of them, right, there's absolutely no difference pragmatically. There's a huge difference legally, right, and therefore in terms of effectiveness. But pragmatically, there's no difference if I say, you know, we're getting married in order to pay back the loan. The loan is the Kesef Kiddushin. Or I say, we're getting married, and I'm a Kaddishup with the Hanov Mechilas HaMilva. Right? In both cases, he doesn't get his money back. In both cases, she doesn't have to pay. And in one case, though the Kiddushin works, in the other, it doesn't. Not everybody agrees with this Rashi. Okay, we'll get back to that. Yeah?
Sorry, I'm not following. What would be the Agar Natar in the case where she gave the coin to someone else? What's he getting?
Not she gave coin to someone else. Oh. No, Rashi was saying that it's not even Agar Natar. Now, the sense that he... You might think that since it's Lokot V'Lomidi, it's not Agar Natar. What would have been the Agar Natar? The fact that he is gaining financially, he's Mekadesher, right? Normally he would have to put his hand in his pocket and take out, you know, write a check for a pruta, right? So that is in lieu of what? Extending the loan. So that's agar, schar, hamtana, samos. Right? Okay. So this is the Gemara. Now, Arvach HaZimna we're going to leave to the later. Even the Tosas I'll leave to a little bit later. But there's a huge, huge, I'll just mention it now, there's a massive debate what this Arvach HaZimna is all about. Number one is what Rashi said, which is very, very logical, namely that if Harvachas Hazman is a Hanas Pruta that you can be Mekadesh and Isha with, so certainly Mechilas Milva Kol Shekein. Right? That seems like a more obvious case. The Tosis Rid, however, and this is already hinted at earlier, the Rif and others, they're not all the Rishonim are so clear about that. And they employ the argument of, or the terminology and argument of Ikar V'Tafel, you know, in this context, which is fascinating. I think what they say is, listen, if you can't be Mekadesh with the money of the Milva, then maybe you can't be Mekadesh with the Mechila, the Hanas Mechila Samilva. Because Hanas Mechila Samilva is less basic than the Milva itself, right? So they say, if you can't be Mekadesh with one, how could you be Mekadesh with the other? Now the answer of the mainstream Rishonim, who disagree, aren't bothered by this, is like, what does this have to do with Ikar and Tafel? The problem in one is Milva Lotzanit, huh? And kicha kicha mistei afron, or some combination thereof. But, you know, what's the difference between saying rekod lefanai, or dabra alaych l'shilton, meaning, if you know, if she says to him, I'll marry you, you know, do good, you know, performance. Or he says, you know what, I'm going to speak on your behalf to the government. I'm going to use my influence. She says, oh, that makes me so, you know, confident. It's worth a pruta to me. Or just the benefit is worth a pruta to her. Right? So those are disembodied hanas, mostly. Right? So that's okay, but the much greater and more concrete hana that she gets by she owes $100 and now she doesn't have to pay it, you know, and it's the feeling of relief or the hana, that no. So it is tafel relative to the ikar of the Dmei HaMilva. So what, Dmei HaMilva doesn't work, but Mechilas HaMilva works. Right? But relative to other Hanos, right, it's way more, relative to Harvach HaZman, but Harvach HaZman is a much flimsier thing. Right? Oh, you get another 30 days. Right here, you get the world, you never have to pay. Right? So, it's an interesting question. The other Rishonim, labored really hard to suggest other pshatim, just what if Harvachas HaZman mean, for various reasons. But some of them, I'll just tell you now, because I'm not, you know, we'll come back to it hopefully, but the Rif, the Ravid, the Rambam, the Rach, all of them, right, and there are different, you know, versions of this in their names, created situations or scenarios where they basically concretized this harvachas hazman, if you will. For example, according to some of them, we're talking about a situation where the loan is up, according to the Rif, the loan is up. Right? According to Ben Hananel, none of these, you know, notice again, if the loan is due in 15 days, and I extend it to 45 days, that might not work. But if the loan is due now, and I extend it for another whatever days, maybe that'll work. That's interesting. Right? Rabbeinu Hananel said, we're talking about a situation where the person, you know, has to, the harvachas hazman means, she gives him the money and he gives it back to her for another 30 days. Somehow, this, you know, return of the money, you know, it's not considered a new loan, but this only in this manner, right, does an extension constitute a hanas, harvachas hazman, that will work for kiddush. That's interesting, right? According to the Rambam, Rambam's case is I think I have the Rambam here, just one second. Rambam's case is that the Harvachas Hazman takes place at the time of the Nesina Samilva. Here, look at Parakei, Halacha Tesvav 19 on page 3. Everybody with me? Hamakadosh banos milva rezum kudeshes. Ketzad. Kagon shehilva osa'ata. Now he extends her a loan of masayim zuz. Wow, listen to this. 200 zuz. V'amarla haret mekudeshes li banazman sharviach lach b'milva zuz shetiyah biyadech kach mekach yom ve'eni tova mimech ad zman ploni harezum kudeshes. And so on. So, what does that mean? It means that he gives her a loan. Let's say typically a loan is 30 days. Right? Or initially he stipulated about this loan that it was going to be X amount of days. Now, he says, you know what? Because I want to be Makadesh you, I'm giving you the loan, right, for plus X amount of days. Beyond that, I was going to give it to you. That's being Makadish Barvachas Samilva. And then the Rambam adds, in the end, Upirshu Rabosai Bahanas Milva Dvarim Shein Roy Lashama. How often does the Rambam say that? Right? There are other Perushim, and I don't think they're correct. Look at the Ravid. Pirshu Rabosai Bahanas Milva Dvarim Shein Roy Lashama. Rav Rama Rishonim Pirshu Kagon Shigiaz Bahana Milva Lifara. That the debt is up. Not that this is when you extend the debt. Uma'osa biyada mizumanim lefroa. The Ravid adds a twist. According to the Ravid, the time is up and the money is on the table. V'yi ha'isa nosenes miyad beratzon. Dina lemishamarech zman chadash. Right? Echad. V'herich la b'skar kidushin mekudeshes. V'zeo d'arvach lazimna. V'kol shkei mashakosafu. Okay, so the Ravid thinks that the case is the debt is up and the money is ready. If you look at the Rif in the back of the Gemara, second. Amar Abaya, this is on Beis Amud Beis in the Dape Arif. Everybody with me? Beis on the Dape Arif, or is it not? Where is it? This is the regular shaka. This is the regular. Everybody have it?
Yeah.
Amar Abaya, second to line from the top. Amar Abaya, Mekadosh Milva Einu Mekudeshes, Banos Milva Mekudeshes, V'Asa Lasos Chem Yipnei Aramas Ribbis. Our Gemara. Then the Gemara says, then the Rif says, Hanas Milva Echadami, Kagon de Mata Zimna Lemigva Mina, it's time to collect, time to pay up. The arvach la zimna of Amar Bahi Anod, the arvach nala adzman ploni mekudeshesli. I kashala hecha alima hanas milva mi milva. Right? Gufa, sorry. How can hanas mi milva be work if milva's no good? Lo kasha. Hanas milva isa. Ulachem iskadeshes. Milva gufa leisa. This is Kaddish. The camel and milva lo tzanditna. This is kind of a version of the question I was talking about before about Ikar and Tafel. And so on. Okay? So harvachas hazman, as I say, is a really tricky thing.
Why should it matter whether the money's on the table?
Oh, good question. So we'll get back to it. Obviously, this either is a way of concretizing the milva or concretizing the hanas milva. But it is a way of making it more real, right? And less abstract. If you have to pay up right now, right, so the harvachas hazman is something more. It's not just an extension of a future deadline, right? It's something.
The point is, what
hanas? No. So if you look at it that way, and simply, well, would you give a pruta to accomplish this goal? Then everything should work. Right. Like according to Rashi, everything does work. Rashi doesn't say only b'shas piron, and he doesn't say only when there's money on the table, and he doesn't say only b'shas hahalva. Which is what, respectively, we saw just now in the Rif, the Ravid, and the Rambam, right? As I mentioned, the Rach, we didn't even talk about the Rach. The Rach has this, I say, even more radical pshat, how it only works, you know, when she gives it back, and he gives it back to her and says, no, 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 another 30 days. Wow. Some of the Rishonim say, what is that? Mimanashach. If it's a new milva, it's a new milva. If it's a harvachas hazman, what do we care that he gave it back, but she gave it back to him or not? Right? So it sounds like, so either these are ways to concretize the hana, or it isn't really the hana. These are ways of actually turning Mekadesh B'milva into something that works. So we'll talk more about it as we go forward. But either way, this is a very interesting gemara. Yeah?
The intention is to Mekadesh her, so what's he have to give her an extension of a loan?
What is that after what?
If his intention by returning the money, it's yes. So.
But not with the money. He wants a Mekadesha with the how. Oh, you're asking me for the Rabbeinu Chananel?
Okay.
Who are you asking about?
Rabbeinu Chananel.
Okay, that's the question. Rabbeinu Chananel's Mekadesh, that Harvachas Hazman means that she returns the money and then he returns it back to her? That he gives her money. Okay?
She doesn't owe him any money anymore.
She returns the money, and he gives it back to her for another 30 days.
Fine, but she repaid the loan. Yeah.
Right, but the point of Rabbeinu Chananel by calling it Harvachas Hazman is that he doesn't really think it's a repayment of the loan and then a new loan. He thinks that giving back the money in order to get the extension is a continuation of the same loan, but it's a concrete way of accomplishing Harvachas Hazman. Just like, even though it's one step, I'm trying to show you there's a gradation here, right? The most minimal is the Rif, who says it's man piron. Right, then comes the Ravid, who says it's man piron, the hakesef, biyada. Right, that's the next one. Then comes, I'm not sure where the Rambam falls in this. The Rambam says when he gives the loan, he says, I'm giving you a loan. I would have given it to you for 30 days, but I want to be Mekadesh, and therefore I'm giving it to you for 60 days. That's the third. And then the fourth is Rabbeinu Chananel, who says, she returns, maybe it's not even at the end of the Zmanic, there are different versions in Rabbeinu Chananel. Let's assume for the moment the loan isn't due yet. She gives him back the money, and he gives it to her, and says, you know what, instead of being due in 15 days, another 30 days. These are just very interesting.
According to the Rambam,
yeah.
We have a question from Mashukon Ishu So what is he accomplishing by giving you a loan if he's Mekadesh?
I mean, it's a very weak halach. I don't want to go into that right now, but it's a very weak halach. I mean, it applies to certain things, based because he's supporting her and so on, but it's not a real, it's not like she doesn't have a yad, of her own. She doesn't have her own money. She has her own money. In Anishas, also. Just certain things, That's part of the trade-off in the Demek Suva. It's a much bigger problem in an Eved Knani or something like that, where the person doesn't really have a yad. But Nisha has a yad. She can have her own bank account. She can have her own money, right? Just that the Ksuva, if she, you know, is accepting certain, you know, level of support, so then, you know, Maisi Adayim and things like that, that there's a trade-off. That's a different... Yeah. Oh, you don't have a question?
She hasn't gotten it yet. He's giving it to her, so it's not yet.
Okay, yeah, I'm saying it's more than that. Okay, good. Anyways, the point is, we have it, so just to sum up so far, you have a very interesting Gemara. It's called, Abaya says, Mekadesh Ben Bilvei Nebukadeshes. Okay? Then the Gemara has a comment about Ribbis, which we hopefully will get back to, but we've already noted that if you're Mekadesh with Dmei Ribbis, is that Mekudeshes or not? Right? Rashi, the Ritva even more explicitly, the Ritva's Diuk is, based on what Rashi wrote, is that it's not a problem in the Kiddushin, but still, that's not what the Gemara is talking about. Other Rishonim think that being Mekadesh Beribbis is like being Mekadesh Begezel, and that doesn't work. So Tova, hold off on that for the moment, but that's an important argument. Then we have another issue, and that is that the Gemara says, however, Hanas Milva works, and then the Gemara says that that's Harvachas Hazman. And what is Harvachas Hazman? So Rashi says it means extending the loan. We have all these other exotic Perushim. Again, the Rambam himself says, you know, that a lot of people wrote Perushim here. The Rif already alludes to the fact that people were unhappy, you know, with some of the Hagdaros of Harvachas Hazman. The Rishonim, some of them, the Tosis Rit among them, were unhappy with Rashi, who says, what do you need Harvachas Hazman for? It just talk about the more straightforward case, Mechilas Hanas, Mechilas Hamilva. Rashi says that will certainly work. The Tosis Rid says, I'm not so sure that will work. Maybe that won't work. Okay? So we'll get back to that. Either way, what I want to zero in first is the din itself of Mekadesh B'milva, Eina Mekudeshes. So as we already read, Rashi seems to be very verbose here. Rashi says, Dekicha kicha nitztei Ephron gamrinan, Diyoiv midi b'shas kiddushin, right? We learn Kesef Kiddushin from Stei Ephron. We learn, therefore, that you require a tangible Nesina Bizmana Kiddushin. And Milva, which is Lotsa Nitna, Ukfarin Shalah, Umbos Achermi, Chayabaso. And Milva doesn't qualify as a tangible Nesina because even if it happens to be Be'en, legally, Al Pidin, it's not considered Be'en. That's what Rashi says. So the reason I said it's a little bit of a verbose Rashi is because, as I think some of you said before, why not just say that, you know, a milva is something which you no longer own, and therefore you can't be mekadesh with something that you don't have. Why all this, the oiv, and midi, and the kicha, and the kicha, and if you didn't learn how to kicha, right? Okay. So this is a question that bothered a lot of the achronim when they read this Rashi. The Rambam equally says things that sound very local when he talks about Kiddushin B'milva. Local meaning that it's a Kiddushin problem, rather than a larger, it's a Kiddushin problem as applied to Milva, rather than a larger, can you transact with Milva problem, right? In which case, if the transaction generally in Milva problem, you shouldn't be quoting Kicha Kicha, Mistei Ephron, V'yayiv Le'midi, right? Okay, so look at the Rambam here in Perikei Halacha Yud Gimel, very famous Rambam. Number 12, right, line 12. HaMekadesh B'milva Afilo Hoysa B'shtar Einam, that's also an interesting line. Even if it was a milva B'shtar Einam Mekudeshes. Keitzav, what does this mean? Kagom Shehayelo Etzla Chov Dinar. Right, he, you know, has with her, in other words, she owes him, right, I mean, he has a collectible of hers, right, of a dinar loan. She owes him a dinar. But Amar La, and he says to her, right, Hariat Mekudeshesli, B'dinar, Sheyeshli, B'adeich. The dinar that you owe me, let that be the Kesef Kiddusha. So the halacha is Einam Mekudeshes. So we're expecting that, why? Because universally, milvah is not a transactionable commodity, right? Instead, the Rambam says, mipnei shemilvah lo tonin. Not so far so good, because milvah is something, right, which is not considered a ban. Fine. But then the Rambam says, ve'ein kan davar kayam. Therefore, there's no tangible thing, lihonos bo miata, for her to benefit from, right, directly now. Shekvar hutzio sadina v'avrana aso. So once again, is this a kedushin halacha or a general halacha? Right? So if you look at the Rambam in Hilchos Mechira, right, there are two Rambams. One is Perek K halacha Dalid, and the other one is Perek Zayin halacha Dalid. Let's look, I'm guessing on page, what page was I just on? Three? So let's look on four. Yeah. Probably four. Yeah. Line one on four is Parakeh Hos Mechira Halacha Dalet. But the Ram says the following: Ruvain Ruvain Shemachar Metalfalin LeShimon B'Chamishim Zuz. Ruvain sold objects to Shimon for 50 zuz. The Kana Shimon Metalfalin. Shimon acquired these metaltalin. They agreed that, you know, he would buy it for 50 zuz. Shimon took the metaltalin, and now he owes $50 to Reuven. The achar sheniskayev Shimon b'chamishim zuzelu. Once that happened, meaning he, Shimon, owes Reuven $50. Hayelo yayino behema oevet kiyotzba mishar metaltalin vayerotz lemachron. Right, he, Shimon, who owes $50, has wine, has cattle, has whatever, right, or other things, doesn't make a difference, that he is interested in selling. But Amar lo, Reuven says, instead of you giving me the $50 that you owe me, but this is a second stage, right, Mechor oso li, b'chamishim zuz sheish li biyadecha. Right? Demea mecher. Vamar lohein. So Shimon says to Reuven, instead of paying back the money that you owe me because of the previous purchase, why don't we turn that debt into kesef, right, which will acquire something else that I'm interested in. And he said, fine. This is a gemara. Kana Reuven ametaltlin b'chol makom shehein. So that works. Afapi shalom mashach v'lo egbia. Just that agreement to convert the loan into kesef kiddushin works even without an additional kesef mechira. What did I say? Oh, sorry. Okay. So kesef mechira, correct. We're reading Hilchos Mechira here, correct? Sheim shegam zeh davar sheino matzui v'lo etzricho b'mashicha. That, as we'll see in the Gemara in a minute, is there's a debate between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish in general, whether Dvar Torah Mos Konos B'Metaltalin. That's when you have, everybody agrees that when it comes to Karka's Niknes B'Kesef. But Metaltalin, right, isn't Niknes B'Kesef necessarily. So there's a debate. Rabbi Yochanan says Dvar Torah Mos Konos, and Reish Lakish said that no, you need Mashicha. But even Rabbi Yochanan, who thinks that Dvar Torah Mos Konos, that you can buy a watch, you can buy, in other words, non-karka with money, thinks that Midrabanan, they made a takana. The takana was Shelo Yisrafu Chitecha Balia. They were worried that if you can make a transaction, right, that doesn't actually include the physical object, so the physical object is going to be somewhere else. In other words, I own
a watch.
It's a good thing, right? To own it, sell it, right? So I have a watch business, and I sold my entire inventory, right, through Mos. But the inventory is sitting in my home, right? Because you didn't have to do a physical kinyan, begufa davar. Now, calamity strikes, right? A fire breaks out. So I just sold it all. It belongs to Reuven. I already have the money. There's no incentive for me, right, to try to salvage, right, those watches. That's chora. That's called shema yisfuchitacha baliyah. You don't have the problem in karka because karka is durable. And you don't have that problem when you do a meshicha or any other physical kinyan because the object is immediately in the other person's. You might have the problem in something like chalipin,
right.
But yeah, in Akanami. But this is the krakana that they made about most daraisa. So what we're saying here is the Gemara says this. Yes, if you hold most konos, there is a takana. But they didn't make the takana for things that are not mitsuyim, for something that is rare or unusual. This kind of scenario, this isn't a straight case where I give you $100 for your watch, right? This is a case where we had an agreement to buy something, right? Instead, it turned into a loan because the guy didn't hand over the money right away. And now we're going to, you know, we're going to invoke that loan as kesef for some other deal. And that doesn't happen by some shibachol yom. So they didn't make a takana. Yeah, you had a question?
Oh, I was going to say, just like, is that the case with is it like when you buy commodities but you don't take delivery yet?
And kind of, it sounds like it's something like that. But we'll discuss that. Okay. Aval, let's continue with the Rambam in a moment. Avalim hayalocho valav. Again, it also may, you know, depend whether or not that's the way people do business. May Rosh, you know, you're treating it that way, as opposed to probably this case where it was more, you know, it converted into that, but not necessarily, you know, it wasn't intended that way or designed that way. Avalim hayichov alav shalomach masamacher. But if it was an outstanding loan that had nothing to do, right, with this mecher. Okay. The right it says Omar Bram Davarza ain't lo shorish linyan kniya, elagabi mishapara. This should not work as a kinyan, it should only work what we call a mishapara, which is where not a real kinyan, in other words, but like a curse. That you have to fulfill your obligation, your responsibility, your commitment. The Alpha Bisha Rab Mefarish Kach Bekidushin Al Mishnah Sichlif Shor Vepara Anan Lo Shamanu El Dmei Shor Shenim Yiduin Lemocher Esapar Shegamze Milsed Lo Shchicha. Okay, fine. You see that there's something going on in between the Rambam and the Ravid. It sounds like there's a case that the Rambam thinks you can convert Milva alone into the equivalent of Kesef, and then you can use it. Going to the Manomar, to our Torah, Mos Konos, and escape the limitations of the Takan. And what if it was Karka? Let's say you wanted to buy a piece of Karka. Right, then there's nothing to do with Misha Parah, has nothing to do with any Takan at all. Oh, so look at the next Rambam. Perek Zayin Halacha Dalet. Misha Hayelachov Veitzel Chaver, a more straightforward case. Right? Ruvain lends money to Shimon. Straight, not through a mecher, or an unpaid mecher, right? A real loan. Va'amar lo, and he said to him, "Mechor li chav v'shol yayin, b'chov sheyesh li yetzlecha, v'ratza mocher." He says, "Listen, you owe me because of a regular loan, right? Reuven says to Shimon, I lent you $100, right? I'm now interested, right, in buying your wine or your grapes, right?" So I'd like to use the Dmei Milva for that. Oh. Hareza Kemisha Nasan Adamim Ata. It's as if he gave him cash. The Kolachozer Rabakama Mishapara. Again, because of the Xerah Drabanan, so it's only a Mishapara, but it's a Mishapara. The Fikach, says the Rambam, here's the big payoff. Im Machalo Karka Bechovo, Einechan Mem Yachalachserbo. Let's say, instead of converting the chov, right, into kesef for metaltalin, which still is a mishapara problem because of the gzeira drabanan, let's say he said to him, you owe me $100 from a loan situation, and I really would like to acquire that piece of real estate that you're, you know, interested in selling. Right? Karkas nikneis bekesef. There's no gzeira drabanan over there. So the Rambam says, lefikach, right, since what I'm saying is that you can turn that a loan can be used in this kind of way for kasef in principle, right? So lefikach, therefore, imachar lo karka b'chovo and einachal mehem yachal aser, but neither one can back out. The afal b'she'en ma'os hamilvam b'tzuyos b'shas hamecher, even though there's no be'en, there's no ma'os hamilva, because milva lo tzanitna, even though, basically what's the Rambam saying? Milva lo tzanitna, and it works as kasef. In metaltalin, it'll work on the level of Mishapara, unless it's lo shkiach. Those are the two Rambams put together. And in karka, it'll actually work. Says the Ravid, Amar Avram, lo yadati ze lama. Right? I don't know, I don't understand this. Shaharei, hushva gaonim kulam, all the gaonim agree, that milva lo tzanitna. Ve'ena kinesinas mos klal. A milva is a milva. It's considered to be, right, already like money spent, even if it's been. And therefore, it's not considered the equivalent of you know, of cash at all. The Gemara says in Kiddushin, seems to equate Mecher and Kiddushin, as we'll see in a moment. Right? If it's really true that Milva is Lotzanitna, B'mecher, B'mai, Kano. How does the kinyan work? And then he adds, V'ulai, Hita'o, Hodarminon, Mamidim Milva, Laperos, V'ushieshlo, V'ilavlinin, Kniyamairi, Elisa Ribbit. So Gemara and Bamatsia got the Rambam confused, but really, this is an unsustainable psak. What is the Ravid asking? From the Gemara in Kiddushin itself, but not our Gemara, the Gemara in the second parak. Gemara in Mem Zayin, Amud Aleph. In the second parak of Kiddushin says as follows. This is not a baya. I'm mentioning that for a reason. But look at the second parak of Kiddushin. Amar Rava Mekadish B'milva Eina Mekudeshes. Everybody have that? Mem Zayin Amud Aleph. I think I also have it on the sheets. Amar Rava Mekadish B'milva Eina Mekudeshes. Milva Lahotza Nitna. If you mekadesh with Hedra, it doesn't work, because milva is lahotzanit. It says the Gemara, name a katanoi. Sounds like a machlokas atanoi. A mekadesh b'milva ain't a mekudeshes. The yesh omer mekudeshes. Sounds like some people think it is, and some people think it isn't. Oh. So, my lab b'hokam iflegi, isn't it probably that they're arguing about the following? The Mar Sava Milva Tzanit, the Mar Sava Milva Lavlo Tzanit. Their dispute is exactly whether or not we view, I'm not going to get into this right now because there are different views as to what this really means, but let's assume like Rashi that we read before, that you know, even if the Milva is has not yet been spent, right, that Milva is Lahotza Nitna. We don't view it as a tangible or concrete, you know, kind of an entity or a legal instrument. It's really an abstraction, right? So then the Gemara says, V'tizbra, Ema Seifa, but the Mishnah says, V'shavim b'mecher, Shezekana. What? The second parak, beginning of the second parak? I think I have it in the sheets also.
Page 219.
219? Okay, good. So the Gemara says, V'shavim b'mecher, Shezekana. There's a line that says that the case that we're discussing, they all agree that when it comes to Mechira, when it comes to Dine Mamanis, it'll work. So the Gemara says, yeah, Amaris Milvalot Sanitna, B'mai Kani. But if you hold Milvalot Sanitna, then it shouldn't work in Dine Mamanis either. Right? And then the Gemara goes on to say, Amrav Nachman, Huna Chavrin Mukumla B'mili Achri. The Gemara goes on to all sorts of different suggestions as to what this argument is really about. Okay, what's the upshot of this Gemara? Is that the Gemara could have, right, distinguished between Mecher and Kiddushin, but the Gemara says Vishavin b'Mecher. The Gemara says everybody agrees that Mecher would be fine. Sounds like perfect Gemara for the Rambam. But the Gemara says, no. If you hold Milva Lahotza Nitna, which the Rambam does, then Milva shouldn't work in Mecher, just like it doesn't work in Kiddushin. Right? So when the Gemara says, V'shavim b'Mecher, Right? That whole Shaklavatarya seems to equate the status of Milva in Mecher and in Kiddush. So that's what the Ravid, if you look back at the Ravid now, one more second, the Perek Zayin Halacha Daled, Ravid says, Omer Avram lo yadati lama, hara yishra gadum kula milva lo tzan itna, everybody holds that milva is lo tzan itna, veina kinesinas mos klal, and therefore a milva is not considered the equivalent of giving money, v'ocha mina v'kiddushim v'shavim b'mecher, shezek kona, v'im milva lo tzan itna b'mecher, my kona. He's quoting this line in the Gemara. Why is he quoting this line in the Gemara? Because this line in the Gemara proves that what the Rambam seems to be saying, right, is not true. Rambam seems to be saying that milva works in principle as the equivalent of kesef and dinei mamonis, and our Gemara seems to be arguing that that's not true. Right? That's the Rambam's argument.
What is milva mishtar after the check?
Sorry?
A milva mishtar, the Rambam says, they never give them check.
Right.
Right. Is a milva b'shtar a check?
No. A milva b'shtar is not a check. I mean, a check is a way of transferring money or giving somebody access to your account.
Right.
That's not a milva b'shtar. A milva b'shtar is a loan that is documented by a contract.
But it's actionable the way a check is.
I mean, you know, that's a very, 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 you know, insignificant common denominator. I mean, actionable what a milva b'shtar accomplishes. You happen to be quite right that the Rambam adding a filo milva b'shtar is significant. I'll get back to that. And maybe because of its actionability. I would agree with that. But it's still not a check at all. Meaning, what's actionable about a milva b'shtar is the fact that if you cannot find collectible assets to repay the debt, that there are shibudim. Meaning that there's a lien on the property that the other properties that he owns when at the time are mortgaged to the repayment of the debt. That's what makes a milva b'shtar actionable, and possibly it's easier to transfer the chov to another person. As if I want to sell a chov,
it's negotiable
as an instrument,
yeah.
But it's not a check. A check is, you know, where I give you access, I give you access to my funds. That's not what a milva b'shtar is. A milva b'shtar is a contract which explicates a loan arrangement, and by virtue of doing that, also builds in extra security for the repayment of the loan. Those are totally different actionable.
But it can be negotiated in repayment to a third party.
It might be able to. That's a question of Bechiras Kovos. Whether that's derais or not, that's a debate. But either way, that's already down the road. That's not what a milva b'shtar. A milva b'shtar is merely a loan contract. And a loan contract is not a check. It's just a description.
It's a documentation.
It's a documentation of a loan.
You
might then be able to use that as a commodity of some sort, especially because of it secures the repayment of the loan and therefore gives it greater concreteness. But it's not it's still far from being a check, right? An IOU is closer to a check. Even that isn't really a check, because again, a check really opens your bank account to the recipient of the check.
The difference really is the maturity. Check is immediately. Check in a sense is an immediately cashable,
right.
As far as a shtar, which has a prolonged maturity.
Right. A shtar requires gvia or piron. This doesn't require piron. It is a kind of piron. Again, what a check status in halacha is not so clear at all, whether there is such an entity, but it's still a different topic. Yeah.
I'm really not clear. Why? What my focus is here is between milva b'tzan nitna, not insofar as simply what it means.
Right.
I mean, I've lent you money.
Right.
You now have it in your possession.
Right.
We've transferred the funds. They're not yours. You have an obligation to repay me.
On the most minimum, on the narrowest level, I don't want to get into that so much right now, but I'll just tell you generally. On the narrowest level, some people think that the argument only, the discussion only revolves around the presence of the ban. In other words, the ban that has not yet been spent, the intact ban. And the question is, if it's still on the table, right, until it is, in other words, is it the right to spend? But until that takes place, the ban, there's still a concept of the ban, in which case...
It still belongs to the Malbec,
I guess, sufficiently, or it's sufficiently connected to him that it could still be viewed in a more concrete way. Or that's how some people understand them. Then it's a very narrow debate. In my opinion, certainly this is the case for the Rambam, and I think it's the case for most of the Rishonim, that milvah lahotza nitna is used in a broader way to signify the status of a milva, even when on both sides we're not talking about the presence of an intact be'en. In which case, the intact be'en may just be an example of how concretely we look at the loan, right, as a commodity, right? In other words, when you look at a loan, this is really, I think, a bigger issue, and this is what we're going to really be getting at. You know, let me say it in two extreme ways, right? One way to look at a loan is that it's just a series of personal, you know, obligations, right? It almost like it begins with tzedakah, because a Jewish loan is an interest-free loan, typically, right? So I lent you $100. This is easier to look at it this way, and it's also mostly accurate. As an act of tzedakah, I lent you $100. I gave you $100. But we say, you know, and let's especially if we say Prius Balkov, let's say we don't say that this is subject to Shibud Daraisa or anything like that. Prius Balkov mitzvah. You know what? He lent you $100, even though it's an act of tzedakah, but you're supposed to repay him, and you should repay him Prius Balkov mitzvah. Prius Balkov mitzvah. The guy lent me $100. That's a mitzvah. That's called quid pro quo. Right? So what I'm saying is, one extreme way to look at Jewish loans, because they are interest-free, is to say, this is not a commercial lending at all. And there's no commodity here, there's no, you know, it's just a series of, I wouldn't say coincidental, because that's making it too extreme, you know. But, you know, he did a wonderful act of chesed of $100, and you shouldn't exploit him, so the right thing for you to do, right, maybe even the legal enforceable right thing, mitzvah, you know, prius balchov mitzvah, but kofin, certain mitzvah say, like, yeah, you have kofin also, to, you know, to buy a lulav and to sit in the sukkah, so kofin also to pay his loan back. But not because, quid pro quo, you owe him the money. Owing him the money is he did a mitzvah giving you the money, and Torah says that your mitzvah, an enforceable mitzvah, is giving back the money. That's a little bit extreme to say it that way, but it's a good way to highlight, I think some people hold that way, and I think it's a good way to highlight what I would want to convey with this, which is, there's nothing in between. Right? When I say he owes me a loan, that's a way of saying that when the due date comes, he's going to have a mitzvah to pay me back the equivalent amount. Right? But not from the malva's point of view, you know, in terms of something outstanding, like when he sees this guy, he shouldn't be thinking, you know, he owes me $100. You know, he's the guy who, I mean, he does, but, you understand what I'm saying?
So that's
but
that's what it's on.
That's an extreme way of saying Novalon's on it. Yeah. Now, on the other hand, that, you know, what you might say is that, even, you know, it's very easy to reject the more extreme portrait that you could punch a lot of holes in it. I'm using it, and I think some people think it's true, or essentially true, you know, because I think it's a perspective. But you might advance the opposite perspective, which is, while it's true that Milva would say Lahotza Nitna, right, because that's how we paskin, right, that only limits, you know, more concrete usage of this instrument. But there's a quid pro quo. And maybe that's what Priyas Malchov Mitzvah itself even means. Meaning, from day one, you don't have a Chovas Agavra to return the money right now, but you're mechuyev to me. And there is something called a Chov out there. There's an existent Chov. And I, the Malva, have that coming to me, and you, the Lova, have that incumbent obligation, you know, when the time comes to implement, but even now, you know, anticipating it, there's something called a chov, and a chiyuv, right? In which case, when I ask, how absurd is it, how unlikely is it that this milva, right, is a transactable, you know, commodity, right, something that, you know, can be used legally, right? The answer is, the more I look at it as, you know, a triggering of, you know, his obligation and his obligation, but there isn't really any cheftza shel mamon or cheftza shel chov or chovas hagavra in between and so on. The more I look at it that way, milva lahotza nitna, the more extreme way, there's nothing there. On the other hand, if I look at it the way, the quid pro quo way, and that, you know, maybe there are limitations because it's a little more abstract, but notwithstanding its abstractness, right, he owes me, and I have a stake in him, and there is a cheftza shel chov out there, maybe it's a usable, you know, transactable commodity. It is a kind of a commodity. So these are the, broadly speaking, two perspectives. What's that?
And therefore? And the
No, so you could say that gufa is the argument of milva lo tzonit, milva lo lav lo tzonit, no? Although it certainly also expresses itself in what the status of the money on the table is. By the way, the money on the table is what? Rashi in Kiddushim Mem Zayin Amud Aleph adds an element that the Riyah Zakim doesn't like, and Tosri doesn't like it so much either, if you want to just follow through with this for a moment. On Mem Zayin Amud Aleph here, Rashi says, milva lo tzonit, no? Got it? Halova Rashai Lahotzia Bahotza. The Lova is, you know, is he has the right to spend this money. And then look, he adds, the Eno Chaiv Lahamida Beiska Shetehe Mitsuya Bechales Sheyitvenu, Kivin Lotzonitna Havale Kidida Havale Yoivlamidi. Rashi adds that Milva, what would be if you held Milva Lav Lotzonitna? So again, most Rishonim, the Tosfiyah Zakeh and the Tosfiyah Sriyat say, no, that only means that, you know, if there's a ban, or maybe the consequences, you know, represented by the fact, if there's a ban and you haven't spent it yet, and so on. Rashi says something very radical. Rashi makes it seem like the Mandamar holds Milva, Lav, Lahotzotna, and Nitna thinks that you can spend the money, but it has to be in some instrument that is convertible at all times, right, to return the money. Wow. That's very radical. Okay, so there is a debate what milva lo tzonit means. If you look at the Rambam, just let me tell you this, in Hilchos Shluchim, in Hilchos Malva V'Lova, in a bunch of places, it's clear, and I think it's clear from certain Gemaras and other Rishonim, that milva lo tzonit, which is how we paskin, seems to have a wider meaning. It also refers to the status of the ben, but it seems to be related to a broader meaning. But even then, how far it goes, does it deny that a milva is a cheftza commodity at all? Or it's, and think of it just as a series of obligations and you know, other obligations. Or does it, you know, still acknowledge that notwithstanding it being a concrete, you know, instrument, that it is, you know, a reality and one which can play a role? That seems to be a big debate. Yeah.
So, according to the to those that say that that milva lav lo tzonit nitna is only when it's, there's a ban there.
Yeah. The milva lav, correct. Yeah.
So they are they there that would be a rejection of the concept of fungibility of money, like.
Not necessarily. It could be they just don't think it would ever have gone as far as to say that, you know, let's say that notion, fungibility or whatever, requires, you know, I guess access to liquidity. That's an added element.
But they require that those specific coins be still around, or
no? They don't require that anything. That's what they might say is that the milvalavlot sonata is expressed, primarily by, you know, what happens when there is a ban. I think even unspent money.
Oh, so not necessarily those original coins, but just
no, the original coins. Okay. But I think that they even they will agree that it goes beyond that, and that that is something which is symptomatic of how commoditable, or fungible, or on the other side, purely either abstract or even non-existent, this is. They just won't necessarily agree with Rashi's point that if you hold milva lav lo tzonitna, then it has to be accessed, it has to be liquid, or the possibility of being made liquid. Yeah. I think Rashi's an extreme.
On this level, in the Kash de Milva, that means that the money that you gave 30 days ago,
right,
and the transfer's been made, and then in the Kash de Milva, this money is now her. But she's certainly not getting it at the time. When the transfer is made, she's not miskadeshes. She's miskadeshes 30 days later when he says this money.
Yeah. Okay. Or 20 days later.
So the question I want to ask is that if you consider kiddushin to be a mitzvah,
right?
So you have to have mitzvah srichas kavona. I mean, it's my focus. Well, srichas kavona, I ain't srichas kavona.
Okay.
So the money that was given 30 days ago was not given l'shem kiddushin.
No. What you're trying to ask, if you think you can be Mekadosh, first I'm not sure about the mitzvah Shetzes Kavanah in that kind of a mitzvah, but okay. That's a separate part. But meaning, just like you might be Mechalik between, Kafo, Parsi, and Tkiyah Shofar, you could probably be Mechalik between mitzvah Kedushin too. But that aside for the moment, I think that the main point is that if you think you can be Mekadosh B'milva, or if you're considering being Mekadosh B'milva, so the kiddushin is with the outstanding. It's not with the money, the physical money, but it is with the debt. And the debt is now. The question is it now enough that?
And she's in Kabul kiddushin with somebody else, and from the time that she got the money to the time that he says Zaweh Mukadeshusli.
She always owes him the money. No. On day number one, she received a loan of $100. On day number 20. He wants a Mekadosh, and she spent it already, or whatever. He wants a Mekadosh with that milva.
Right.
Not with Hanos Mechilas milva, but with the milva itself.
Right. So she Mekadosh from day one.
It's only going to be a possible Kiddushin, right, if you think that the chov, the obligation, exists on some level.
So she could not receive Kiddushin from anybody else on day 10? What did she miss?
No, of course she could. Of course she could. It's not. It's not the money. It's the chov which exists now on day 20.
Oh, so she's miskadeshes on day 20.
Yeah, of course.
For sure. So then there was no kavana at the time. What do you mean
no kavana?
The chov on day one.
No. That would only be if it was l'mafreya. This has nothing to do with the money. The money is gone. It's the debt.
Right.
On day one, there was money.
Well,
after day one, or after day five, whenever she spent the money, or if you hold milva lahotzonitna after the first second, or at the first second, there's no money, there's a debt.
Okay.
But that debt exists until it's repaid. Now, there are different critical moments of that debt, right? And that's where hanas v'chasman, meaning a critical moment is, the beginning of it. The next critical moment is when it's due, right? But the point is, he's Mekadosher with it. Maybe that's the reason why he can't be Mekadosher with it, because the money is long gone, and the debt isn't real enough, or legal enough, or legally concrete enough, right, to be something you can be Mekadosh with. Okay, so let's get to that, actually. So, the point I want to make is as follows. We have two difficult Rishonim. One is the Rambam, and the other is Rashi. Rashi, because he emphasized in Kiddushin and Avavu Medeis that Kicha Kicha Mistei Ephron, the Yovle Midi. Why doesn't he just say that Milva Lahotan, which he refers to, and therefore the Chov is a Davar Shena Breshuso, a Davar Shlo Baliolam. He can't be Mekadosh with something that doesn't exist. right? All the Achronim ask this question. Not all of the Achronim. Many of the Achronim. The Pnei Yoshua, we have some of them here. It's a little late, so we'll read them when we continue in 2 weeks, right? Pnei Yoshua, the Netziv, the Avnei Miluim, those are the ones I have here on the page. They're good enough. They're very good. Okay. They ask this question. I'll just show you this one line, the beginning of the Netziv. Okay, just give me 1 minute. Page what? There you go, page 1. Okay. Pirush Rashi, Eina Mekudeshes, Tikicha Kicham, this is line 9. Mistafron, Dioiv, Midi, Bishas, Kiddushin. The Eina Muvan, my boy Rashi, Bazeh, what do you want with this? My Nafkamina, Nafkal, Mistafron, Omiyansachina, Main Kasef, Kirab. Talked about that earlier. The Nir, the Sri Rashi, the Baya, Lo Bolomar, Shmaitza, the Rav, Lalon, Memzayan, Omanala, from the Kaddish Milva, Eina Mekudeshes, Elishabe Emes, Cholek Abaya, Al Rav. The Shamavur, the Larav, Kamosh, Eina Mukudashas, who are did Mechra de Lokani. Okay, so what does that mean, Bekitsur? And others say similar. It sounds like Rashi thinks this is a Kedushin problem, not a universal Milva Bekinyanim problem. But the Gemara Mem Zayinim and Aleph, not a Bible, Rav, says Veshavim Bemecher, that we equate Mechira and Kedushin. Says the Netziv. That's why Rashi is so verbose here. Because Rashi wants you to know that according to Abaya, it doesn't agree with Rav. Abaya thinks that the problem of Milva is a specific problem for Kiddushin. Rav thinks that the problem of Milva is more universal, and therefore it applies across the board in other transactions too, meaning Kiddushin, of course, and Mecher as well. So some of the Mefarshim suggest something similar for the Rambam. Because what did the Rambam say? In Kiddushin, in Ishus, the Rambam says, what's the problem of being Mekadosh B'Milva? The problem is there's not enough Hana. Right? Right? What? Sounds like in Mecher, you don't need a Kesef Shal Hana. We've talked about Kesef Shal Hana already, right? We've talked about Nasalachsir and Arev. We've talked about the Rambam's view that it seems like Kiddushin, the Gnai Hula, right? You need the Mekanya Nafsha. Kiddushin requires a certain type of kesef. The Rambam's view on Milva echoes his view on Matana Benasa Hatzir. Seems to say the problem with Mekadosh Milva is that it's not a certain kind of kesef, not a kesef shalana. So the Rosa Kelim say, what's he talking about? The problem is that it's Lahotza on it. Huh? And the Gemara says, on Mem Zayin Omen Aleph, Visham Bemechor, it applies Bembe Dine Mamad as Bembe Kiddushin. But if you look at the Rambam, in Hichos Mechira, in Parakei, and Parak Zayin, both Halacha Daled, and the Ravid in both places attacks him. What does the Rambam really say? That in Mechira, if you want to buy Metaltalin with a Milva, you get a Mishapara. In some cases, if it's unusual enough, it works. Because Dvar Torah, Mos, Konos. And Lefikach, if you want to get Karka with a Milva, that works totally. Not a Mishapara, it really works. And the Ravid says, what's he talking about? It's a Milva. Milva doesn't work in transactions. Because the Gemara says in Kiddushin Daf Mem Zayin, B'Shavim B'Mecher. So some of the Achronim suggest that just maybe Rashi and the Rambam both agree that there are two different sugyas, Abaya and Rav, that Abaya thinks that the problem of Milva is a Kiddushin problem, but in Ochanami, in Mekach Memkar, it would work. That's what Rashi seems to be talking about in Bamba Beis. And that's what the Rambam paskins in Hilchos Ishus and Hilchos Mechira. It's Rav, a Mem Zayin, who holds differently. On the other hand, just to contrast it, look at the Baal Amor. I know we have it somewhere. Do I have it? On Vav Med Beis somewhere? Four, 17. Yeah. Amar Abaye Mekadosh Milveinu Mekudeshes, Vehu Adin L'Chol Kinyan, even though the Gemara, it's talking about the Gemara of Amid Beis, not just Kiddushin, any Kinyan, Shebekesef, V'Hol Kamina Bepirkin, D'Lekaman, that's what the Gemara says in the second parak. V'Shavin B'Mecher, Shezek Kano, V'Mobilotza Nitna, L'Mai Kani, Amalokani, Shema Amina. Baal Amor basically says, these two sugyas are the same sugya. Okay? So this is one way to explain the Rambam and Rashi. There are, however, other suggestions for the Rambam, and that's what I want to explore next time, that go to the heart of whether milva really is a legal, transactable commodity. I think it's for the Rambam in particular, it's much more subtle. It depends on the nature of the transaction. So it also depends on the nature of the milva. That's what we're going to follow up with, and then Hanas Mechilas Milva. So again, next week,